Hey everyone, and welcome to Tara T. I'm your host, Tara, and today, I gotta say sorry. It has been over a month since I have released an episode. I didn't get to do anything that I had planned for February. I'm gonna be very honest, it's been a rough couple of months. I got sick right around when Ready or Not was supposed to be recorded, watched it, worked on the script, sat down to record it, started feeling like crap. It was not a pleasant experience. It wasn't COVID. I had some sort of stomach bug and it was just fucking terrible. On top of that, I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but I've been in therapy for a year and insurance and all that got messed around with for the new year and ended up having to stop therapy for a little bit to get that fixed, and I've started it back up, and it was like the worst time to stop therapy because I've been going through some shit and processing and just, it's been a lot. Not to mention, I have been completely fucking burnt out. Like, I have not wanted to do any sort of deep dives or heavy research episodes because Scream was just so much. Like, I can't even explain how much research. Like, I think I touched on it in the last episode that you guys heard back in February. But, I mean, from, like, middle of November to, like, the middle end of January was nothing but Scream. And all this research and all these, like, hours spent watching movies, videos, recording, getting sound clips and all that, I am just so worn out. And I've got to be honest, the podcast, for all, like, three of you that listen, hi, I appreciate you, thank you. For all three of you that listen, the podcast has been for me. It has been for me to talk about the movies that I love, the movies that have got me through bad shit, and the movies that make me happy, and the fun craziness that's part of the horror genre. And to be honest, podcasting hasn't been fun lately. It has been a chore. And so I wanted to take a break and kind of figure out what I wanted to do. We're honestly probably going to be going to a 2-week schedule instead of doing it weekly. I just can't do it weekly right now. Maybe later, but as of right now, that is too much. So we're going to try to do like a bi-weekly thing. And so for today's episode, I'm pretty much just going to condense everything that I'd planned to do for the Women in Horror Month and kind of go over it all right now and try to go back to the quick episodes that aren't hours long and full of me ranting and raving. We'll see how long this one goes. Y'all know I go off on tangents. This is likely to be an hour. But anyway, so I wanted to jump into the good for her horror subgenre because it is a very, very rapidly growing subgenre. It was something that was just a couple of movies were kind of in that, you know, realm of good for her. But now it has become an even bigger thing. And so now it is, more movies have that feel. And there's honestly some gray area because, and we're going to get into it, because sometimes it's absolutely good for her, but then sometimes, but like, also, are you bad now? How do I feel about that? Anyways, today's just going to be a fun little episode. Hopefully not too long. We'll see. I'm going to try not to do a whole lot of crazy editing. Just making sure I catch my little flubs. Those may be even left in here. So if I say someone's name wrong, sorry. But yeah, let's just jump into it. What is the good for her horror subgenre? It all started with Jessica Walter, who plays Lucille Bluth in Arrested Development. She's watching the news. An anchor off screen says, claiming she couldn't take it anymore, the young mother released the emergency brake, allowing her car to roll backwards into the nearby lake. To which Walter replies, good for her. I love the subgenre. I think it's hilarious how it got started, and I think they're very interesting movies that slashers get such a bad rap on people saying that, oh, they're against women. It's just girls getting gutted and blah, 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 blah. And I think the good for her subgenre takes that feel because, I mean, women in slashers, typically you have your final girl who's victorious against the bad guy. Now it is making her an even bigger protagonist because now you're cheering for her just as much as you cheer for Michael and Freddy and Ghostface and Chucky and all those guys. You're cheering for the girl too now because good for her. She's kicking ass. Hell yeah. So I want to get into a couple movies The big one that we were going to talk about is Ready or Not, because I feel like that is your quintessential good for her movie. Because now, granted, it was advertised a little different. The poster of this movie is her with this big, like, ammo and gun thing. And so you think she's there, like, kicking ass and taking names. But in actuality, while she is, she's put in this environment to where she's getting married. The family seemingly hates her. And then all of a sudden, it's midnight and they're like, hey, we're going to play a game. She thinks it's, you know, oh, cutesy wootsy. No, it's a game to the death because she's drawn the wrong card. Now they're playing hide and seek. So now they have to kill her or, like, capture her for torture before sunrise, or they all die and lose their fortune. Because you later find out, spoilers again, y'all know me, I spoil everything. They're Satanists, and so they're pledging their lives to Satan for their good fortune and all this, and she's completely an innocent victim, and so she's trying to get away from them and survive and get out, and her husband is trying to help her at one point until he, I guess, develops his true nature. Who knows? Whatever. I hate his character so much. Like, so much. The thing is with her, though, is that, like, it's made to look like in the previews and the trailers and all that, that she's kicking ass and taking names, but she's not. The people that die are not of her own hand. Like, it is all circumstantial, like, accidentally shooting people, and she is just trying to escape and not hurt anyone and just get away. And then the sunrise happens, and it's the best part of the movie. Like, I was disappointed watching this movie at first because I was just like, okay, this isn't what I thought it was gonna be, and I thought she was going to be a lot cooler than this, and she's just running away. And then the end happens, which I won't spoil because I love it so much. That's how you know I really love the ending, is I'm not going to spoil it for you. But when it happens, like, I was so happy and, like, cackling with glee in the theater. Like, I loved it so much. I think it's amazing. If you haven't seen Ready or Not, you have to see it. It's so fucking good. And at the end, when she's like, oh, in-laws, or whatever, I think she says in-laws, where, you know, fire, and she's smoking a cigarette outside, and the police come. It's great. One other thing I'm gonna tap into with the good-for-her subgenre is, like, this something happens in horror movies a lot, is, like, the ending comes, and you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, she won, da-da-da-da. What happens after the credits? Like, this movie, she's getting in a whole lot of trouble, because how's she going to explain all this? And that happens again with Your Next, like, which we'll get into it. That's on the list. It's weird, which Your Next basically kills the cop. But at the same time, you're like, when the cops arrive, how does she explain all this? The Invisible Man is another one that I think is a perfect good for her, especially the end, because she has, you know, she's escaping this man who has been, you're assuming physically abusing her, but definitely mentally abusing her and keeping her away from everyone and manipulating and controlling her and all this. And she's finally breaking away. And he has this invisible suit, and, you know, she might be crazy. And I wish they'd tapped into that more, because I love unreliable narrator tropes. And I wish they talked about it in the trailer a little bit, of where she's supposed to seem sane and, like, she's not, but they kind of edited that out a little bit. I wish I would have tapped into it more, just to kind of play with that. But she has finally, you know, she's trying to say he's here. They don't believe that he's there. Some things happen, which theoretically could, like, in the invisible suit, she's standing in front of the child of her friend that she's living with. Invisible man slaps the girl. She thinks it's our lead, but that's not possible. And I guess, like, in that moment, if you just got slapped by an invisible force, the only thing you can think of is that somehow the person in front of you did it so fast you didn't see it. I don't fucking know. But, like, she's saying there's someone else here, it's not me, and they don't believe her, and she's getting committed and all this. And then you find out, like, oh, he was held captive by his insane brother. And it's like, no, this was all a rouge. And, like, we know it's him. We heard his voice. We didn't see him in the suit, but we know it's him. We know his brother was in the suit at one point, but we also know he manipulated his brother too. So when she goes at the end and has dinner with him because she's now pregnant and he wants their little happy family, and she goes to meet with him and he's trying to apologize, and then she fucking kills him in the spare invisible suit. It's amazing. I love it. And I am just like, yes, bitch, good for her. I'm so excited. It's awesome. I love the ending of that one too. Jennifer's Body is another one, because Jennifer is your hot girl and all this, and it's hard because she spends so much of the movie being that hot girl. Like, at the beginning, you kind of see her with the band that is gonna, like, use her to become famous, where she's kind of naive to everything and willingly goes with them, and then they try to do whatever they do to her to, like, kill her, and, you know, she doesn't know if she's gonna get raped or whatever, but then she's getting revenge because now she's a succubus, and so she's killing all these boys for thinking, you know, oh, I'm the hot girl you can fuck with. And the feeling of getting that revenge on guys that have always been shitty to you just because of how you may look or act or whatever. Plus, she's a fucking succubus. Like, there's not a lot of succubus horror film, so it's always good. And I do think Jennifer's Body gets such a bad rap. The dialogue, we've talked about it in the episode, the dialogue is the dialogue, and what can you fucking do? But besides that, I think it's a great movie. Your next, which we talked about, is a woman that's going to dinner with her boyfriend and his family. They're doing like a weekend dinner, staying at like a little country house. And then suddenly they are attacked. And you find out that she can help the people, like, help protect his family because she grew up on a survivalist commune. So she has the ability to help and try to help protect everyone and do all this. Well, then throughout the course of the movie, you find out that it's the brothers. They're in on it. Like, they want to kill their parents for the insurance money. And once she realizes that, she wreaks havoc. And she uses her skills against this shitty family who's basically using her to say, oh, yeah, it was these strangers, 100%. She's our eyewitness that's impartial for the insurance money. And, you know, oh, this will help us, like, guilting her into going along with it. And then she's just like, fuck you all. And it's great. Again, had the police shown up and not got killed by her trap that she set, how would she have explained all this shit? Because, like, she didn't just shoot him. Like, one dude got attacked with a blender. Like, she was a lot. So, that's another fun thing that I would like to talk about more, is horror movies that, like, what happens after the movie? Like, how do you explain that shit? Halloween 2018 did great talking about the trauma after a slasher. At some point, I want to go over the Final Girl support group before it becomes a movie, because it's so fucking good. The book's amazing. And it talks a little bit about what happens after your slasher movie, and I think that's always an interesting thing to think about. But then I want to start talking about, because again, going off on tangents, my bad, yo. I want to go over the good for you horror movies that kind of lean a little more into, is it really good for her, or is it just like, awesome, you kicked ass, but now you're the bad guy? And so I think there's a few like that. Kind of my very first one that kind of teeters is Wrong Turn from 2021. She is captured by this cult, whatever you want to call it, this colony, the foundation, and she ends up just going along with them to survive. And so she's a part of it. And then when she finally gets her opportunity to break free, she does. She attacks and she gets away, and it's good for you. But she also, like, was a part of that. And so when they come back to her home and she's going to attack them and kill them, like, it is good for you. But at the same time, had no one came to get you, you would have probably stayed. Because you don't necessarily see that they're the bad guys, or what, like, it's kind of, it's that gray area, because I don't necessarily believe that the Foundation were always bad people. They eventually became horrific people with, like, the eyes gouged out people that were, like, running around in the dark. That shit was crazy. But she's getting revenge on this cult, but she would have stayed. She wouldn't have necessarily tried to get out, really. I mean, it was her dad came, and so she was like, oh, here's my out. Yeah, I want to go. I don't know. Midsummer is another one, which we've talked about Midsummer. You guys know I fucking love Midsummer. I think it's a brilliant film. But Dani is succumbing to this cult. She's becoming one of them. Like, she's crowned May Queen. They fawn over her. They scream when she's in pain with her and sympathize where she has not had that at all. Not out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it to have her join them. And so when she's, you know, definitely wanting Christian in the fire bear, like, yeah, good for you, bitch, to burn up this shitty boyfriend of yours. Like, good for you. But also, now you're part of this crazy-ass cult. So, how do I feel about that? Ari Aster even described the smile at the end of the movie as someone who is surrendering to a joy known only as the insane. Which is very accurate. But again, it's like, good for you, but is it? The Witch is another one, which y'all know, we've talked about this too. I did not like The Witch. I like the end once I could see it because the movie's fucking pitch black and I couldn't see what was happening. That's one of those that I want to rewatch to like kind of figure out how I really feel about the movie. And with this one, the witch captures the baby and then the older brother is all fucked up by that witch and the goats and all this stuff are dying because they have, you know, separated themselves away. And so they're saying that Thomason's a witch and that she's bad, and so everyone's basically like dead, and the goat is the devil, spoilers, which is so fucking nuts. The goat's the devil, but okay. You know, he's like, do you want to live deliciously, do you want to join me? And she does, and you're like, good for you, bitch, fuck these people, get your power, like, have a good life. But at the same time, you are becoming the exact thing that you were afraid of, that they were accusing you of, that you were denouncing. Now you're joining it. So, how do I feel about that? Another one that is, it's very hard because in Us, Adelaide is Red, and Red is Adelaide. If you haven't seen Us, it is a family. They find out there's the Tethered. Basically, let's say society has created copies of everyone, and they tried to have this society, and then it failed, and so they left them all down there like rats. And the little girl, Adelaide, went into this like funhouse thing, and her Tethered met her. Her Tethered attacked her, and they swapped places. So now her Tethered, Red, has now become Adelaide. Learns to talk, becomes a full-functioning member of society, and Red, old Adelaide, can barely speak, kind of remembers how, and has been leading the revolution of the Tethered to come up, because she remembers what it was like before, like when she was like 8 or 9. And so our Adelaide, who is old Red, basically beats the shit out of her and like wins, and it's awesome. It's a fantastic like musical score moment. I love it. It's so good. The scene's excellent. But when you get through all that and the family's getting away, you realize her son realizes that she was the original Tethered, that she is new Adelaide, old Red, and she was the Tethered. And so he knows. And you're like, good for you for escaping and, you know, being better, but you're also the Tethered. You're like, you killed the real person. You're a bad guy. Or are you? And it's that gray area. And of course you have the good for her subgenre is not just related to horror, it's in thrillers. Gone Girl is a perfect example. A lot of people say good for her for whatever. It's Amy. It's gonna drive me nuts. Amy Dunn. That's what it is. Okay. They talk a lot about Amy Dunn and how, you know, she's a victim until halfway through when you realize, no, she's been orchestrating all of this and she's trying to trap him because he wasted her life and her potential and took from her, and she just fucking snapped. And so, yeah, you're like, good for you getting revenge on that shitty husband, but then she's a fucking psycho. So is it really good for her, or is it like, holy fuck, get him, like, they're terrible together, get him away from each other. Like, I don't know. And you have the same thing where people are saying, like, Promising Young Woman is a good for her movie. It's not. Like, if I was ever going to talk about a movie that was marketed as horror, is not horror, and pissed me off while I still really enjoyed it, it's that movie. Which, I realize I just, like, said all these conflicting things, but it was advertised as a horror movie. It's not a horror movie because you're led to believe that she's going to kill these men and attack them and trick them into, they think she's drunk, so they're going to take advantage. Well, she's not, and then she kills them. She didn't kill anybody. And she just kind of, like, lectures them, and then they get pissed off and hopefully never do it again. And so she's trying to get revenge on the people that, like, assaulted her friend. And you work all this way up to her releasing all of the videotapes and all this at a bachelor party to, like, get revenge on this guy at his wedding, but she winds up dead. There is no satisfaction. It's like, good for you for, like, kind of going after people and trying to show these guys the right way to do it, but, like, I wanted her to fucking kill somebody. Because otherwise, not really good for her, because I'm pissed that she's not, like, getting true revenge. Like, if we're gonna do a revenge, like a rape revenge, while kind of sugarcoating over the rape portion, then fucking go for it. Don't pussyfoot around and be like, well, I'm gonna lecture him, and I got a red because I lectured him, a blue because I let him go. Like, I don't get it. It's frustrating, but I really liked the movie. Like, I enjoyed it. I haven't watched it since. The performances are great. And I will say, the ending, for as fucked up as it is actually, like, I enjoyed the actors and their portrayals of all of it, because it's nuts. But when you really think about the movie, it pisses me off. And it's not necessarily a good for her kind of thing. Good for her movies, sometimes they make you feel like, yes, great, awesome, you are this heroic feminist icon. But there are sometimes where it's like, you're the bad guy, and I don't know if I can say, hey, you're awesome, or if I can say, shit, you're a terrible person. Like, why am I cool with this? And there's so many movies that follow into this subgenre. It's not like, in horror, it's becoming a bigger thing. But you also have older movies as well. Like, I'm going to kind of touch on it a little bit, name off a few. Rosemary's Baby is kind of considered. The Shining is kind of considered a good for her because she survives. She gets away from him. You know, he's dead. The Babadook is somewhat considered a good for her. I don't really see that because, like, I also hated The Babadook. So that's part of it. I don't really care for it. I don't think it was, like, that great of a movie. But they consider it. Like, they kind of throw it in. Well, like I said, they throw in a lot of things. Unsane and Gothica are similar themed movies where it's people, like, women that are trapped in mental institutions and they get out and they get revenge. And Unsane is a fantastic movie. I want to cover it so bad. It's on the list of movies to cover. I could talk all day about that movie because it's unreliable narrator and it's right up my alley. Carrie is a good for her movie where she's getting revenge on the students that laughed at her and her crazy ass mother. And Hush can be considered a good for her movie because she's basically going against, I said older movies, this isn't that old, but still, it's on the list. where she's getting revenge for this guy that's coming into her home and trying to attack her and taking advantage of her being deaf, and she's still able to, like, get his ass. I mean, you could go as far as the newest Scream at the end where he's, like, giving her shit about being the daughter of a serial killer and trying to frame her for murder, and then she fucking attacks. Like, I will say, when she attacks him in the end, she stabs him all those times and slits his throat and shoots him and all this, and you're just like, fuck yeah, girl, good for her. I get it. I feel like I've said that. Like, do a shot every time I say good for her. You'll have alcohol poisoning at the end. Good luck. Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon is one. Like, I feel like any sort of slasher can really be a good for her. But The Rise of Leslie Vernon, especially because she's doing this documentary on this serial killer, like a horror movie icon, and what he does and how the tropes play out and all this. And then you realize, no, he's going to go after her. She's the true final girl. And then she gets revenge by killing him. All in all, I feel like the good for her subgenre is a growing subgenre in horror. And especially as we get more elevated horror, I feel like we're going to see more and more of this type of film emerge. And I, for one, am excited to see what happens with it. So what do you guys think? What are your favorite good for her horror movies? Do you think it's a stupid subgenre, a stupid trope? Do you think it's fantastic? Do you agree that there's a gray area, or you're just like in that camp of no, she's getting revenge. It doesn't matter if she has to become bad or not. Like, she's gonna get revenge. I am all over social media. We are on Twitter and Instagram at TerrorTPod. We are also on Facebook in the TerrorT group. You can catch horror news, fun little horror updates, things like that. So come and join us. If you dig what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you really like it, please leave me a 5-star review. Again, I'm your host, Tara, and this has been TerrorT.